the College Baseball Experience preview and picks episode for the weekend of February 23rd. Episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for the lowest price last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today. Use that promo code SGPN to get $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using our promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. Five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. So what are you doing, folks? Hop on over there. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Yes, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit, HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. And remember, as always, folks, too, let it ride.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Yes! Woo-hoo! Welcome! Welcome to the College Baseball Experience preview and picks episode for Friday, February 23rd. As we hang out into the weekend of college baseball, as you know, the sport's growing, and so are we, folks. Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Subscribe, hit that like button, hit all that shit. I want to see hits like your fucking Mark Whitten. All right, let's go. If you're wondering who the hell you're listening to, my name is Colby Swiggin' Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Oh, we will be doubling the price. A couple plays I already love. Can't wait to tell you about all of it. I got some high heat for you. All right. I am joined. We are joined by the true heartbeat. Look, I'm that drunken sailor. You know. We are joined by the brains behind the operation. All right. I'm Master Shredder. He's the fucking brain. All right. He's got it going. All right. Former college baseball player himself. And look, host of the College Baseball Experience, the man behind the scenes, behind really a lot of the college experience stuff, football, basketball, baseball. Sometimes he's always writing articles and shit. He's just doing stuff everywhere. Little old Baron driving, drywall having. I hope most people have drywall. Give it up for Noah Beanick. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Colby? You know, week number two is here. Week number one, it was pretty successful for myself, us, college experience, social media, the growth.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to run it back here for week two. And we've got some fun games. Yes, we do.
We certainly do. I mean, there's one that I can't wait. We're just going to have to talk in a minute about, but there's a few that I'm just super excited about. I was able to catch George Mason. Earlier this week, I was watching George Mason. Remember opening out the gate, Coastal Carolina skunk George Mason. I think it was like 26-1, maybe 26-0. I can't remember. But then I was able to watch George Mason come back home to Fairfax and do that to Morgan State. I then watched a hell of a game yesterday with James Madison and Virginia Tech. That was a fantastic game.
That was a great one too.
I caught a Southern game earlier in the week. I caught just every day I've been switching around, watching all these games. It's fantastic. I'm drawing a few other blanks, but
It's great.
Yeah, there was a couple upsets. Austin Peay swept Mississippi State in the midweek. Wake Forest went down to UNC Greensboro.
Yes, yes. And yeah, that game I watched. I watched that whole game, Wake Forest Greensboro. Woo! Woo! That was high drama. That was actually the best game of the week. I don't know. I mean, Virginia Tech, I mean, the best game that I saw this week. I'm balancing.
Vanderbilt went down to Dayton and they dropped one to FAU.
I'm balancing that with basketball. So it makes it like, you know, it's just that crazy time of year. But yes, I mean, what it's great to just to have this thing rolling along, and ESPN Plus is such a benefit. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, you had to fucking go to the game or tune into local radio, college radio, which, you know, let me tell you, as a guy that's done a lot of college radio, you know, you can't always rely on college radio. Anyway, yeah, let's jump into this week because I feel like the slate
odds are fresh. They just came out probably like an hour.
We were waiting. We were going to do this episode yesterday. We realized, you know, we couldn't.
We still
did
the SGP college baseball episode yesterday.
Still did that. Go listen to that sports gambling podcast. We're doing stuff left and right when it comes to college baseball,
college basketball picks the day after. If you listen to the
entire show. That's true.
Well, I don't get right man cold,
but they're counting down 7-6-5.
All right, let's get to this action because there's money to be made, folks. And look, I see people in the chat saying, I don't know shit about college baseball. Shout out to Ryan Hasty. But look, I mean, you weren't just born on this planet. No, I know Ryan Hasty knows college basketball really well. You got to work to earn it, just like anything else in life. You got to put that time in. All right. So we're giving you our time to help you learn it. And once you learn it, or if you just tail us, victory lane's going to feel pretty fucking good. But also, I mean, I really think the more you give it a chance, the more you'll love it. I think it's the most undercovered sport in America. And yeah.
Which also means there's money to be made if it's undercovered. Which
100%. So look, and I know you were betting marble races in fucking during COVID. All right. So don't give me this. I'm not putting money on it. Get out of here. All right. Saw you betting on Notre Dame fencing last year. All right. Let's get to it because the slate is fire. All right. Let's just play. I'm just going to give us some type of heat here, you know. Yes, the slate is fantastic. Let's jump right into it because 11 a.m. the Shockers of Wichita State are taking on the Wahoos of Virginia. Wichita State's getting plus 260. Whew. This is in Jacksonville, Florida. Number 14, Virginia. The Wahoos are minus 360. Noah, is there any just 260 is juicy. All right. I know it's the Jacksonville College Baseball Classic. You know, you can get some upsets in that thing, I feel like. And I mean, build me a case on why I should take Wichita.
Yeah, I can do just that. And I also will build you a case. You'll see the totals and the run lines, hopefully. I mean, at some point last year, after like the beginning of the season hype, the totals and run lines all of a sudden disappeared. And we were just left with money lines for most of them. But I would be looking to take it over in this game as well. Because Wichita State, they're averaging 12.6 runs a game. And Virginia, they're averaging 14 runs a game. So both Friday starters and Jack O'Connor for Virginia and Little Cox, Caden Favors, or not Little Cox, Caden Favors, Wichita State's Caden Favors.
Little Shocks. Little guys. Shocks.
Well, they played Little Rock last week, so that's why I misspoke. So Caden Favors of Wichita State, Jack O'Connor from Virginia, they're both pitch to contact guys, and I think the offenses could possibly feast here. If the Shocks can get into that bullpen like Hofstra did last week against Virginia, Hofstra was able to put up some runs on the Wahoos pen. So I think you could also catch the Wahoos trying to save some of their better arms for the games coming up this weekend, because this is a four-team tournament here in Jacksonville, Florida, and Iowa and Auburn are also in this tournament. Both teams, you know, just kind of expected to be better than Wichita State this season. So they're going to hold off some of their better bullpen arms here. So that's the reason why you would be looking to take Wichita State at plus 260. This is definitely worth a shot. So give me the Shockers from Wichita State.
You know, I love to fade Virginia. You know what I mean? Wannabe private school pussies are the worst. You know what I mean? They when you're going out of your way to be a private school pussy when you're not a private school pussy, I look to fade them anytime. Now, Wichita is on my shit list for canceling their football program and you know, knowing that Bill Parcells was once a part of their institution. They need to get that shit going. All right, listen up, Koch brothers, who are alums from Wichita as well. Spend some of your filthy blood money getting that football program back going. But baseball, basketball, they keep good programs. And I think you made a compelling case. If Hofstra can do it, Why not Wichita? So let's go. I'll take Wichita. I'll take Wichita. No lock, but I'll take Wichita.
And like I said, they're just not going to see the better arms out of the bullpen here for Virginia. So
boom, boom. All right. And that's going on once again, Jacksonville, Florida. All right.
Pacific time. Colby's reading all these as well. So 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern. So all just for the new listeners and everything.
Now this next one, I'm curious because it's an 11.7. Remember we talked about this on last week's show. We introduced you to what that is. It's
basically like your circa pick'em, where they're in the NFL, you pick 5 games each week. Here with 11.7 is a competitor in college baseball podcasting, but they do a great thing in running these two pools. There's a pick'em and there's a survivor. So they offer 6 series. Usually they're all coin flip series for most part. There's 1 or 2 that you could really kind of pick apart as your survivors each week. But for the most part, these are very entertaining series. And as we're going to get into this one's minus 115 both ways, game one. So should be a fun one.
Yes. At the Bud Matheny complex there, in Norfolk, Virginia. Rutgers minus 115 at Old Dominion minus 115, as you just coin flip games, as he just mentioned. The Monarchs, they're not just a butterfly. All right. They're a team I think capable of knocking off. Look, I always like to fade the Big Ten. I'm sorry, Noah. I know you're a Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
Jersey's still cold.
Typically fading the Big Ten and baseball against Southern teams works. I will say this is another Big Ten, a tough Big Ten Sun Belt matchup, similar to last week's Maryland, Georgia Southern. You know, the Sun Belt tries to prove itself as being one of the top 5 conferences in baseball, and they compete directly with Big Ten for that title to try and get rid of the Power 5 mantra. Georgia Southern, they were only able to win 1 home game against Maryland. That's not going to help this conference's overall RPI. Now it's Old Dominion's turn here. For the 2nd straight week, I'm once again favoring the projected 3rd best Big Ten team over a middle of the pack Sun Belt team here. So the pitching for Rutgers is shaky, but they have a stud to go in game one in Christian Coppola. He was a freshman All-American last year, and he pitched for the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team. Coppola was 5-5 last year with a 3.68 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 66 innings. I think he's going to have his way over an Old Dominion team that only averaged 6.3 runs per game on opening weekend against George Washington, of all teams. And the Monarchs, they have a team OPS of only 6.85, which is 201st out of 292 in D1 baseball's database for that stat. So, you know, some D1 teams did not play D1 competition and doesn't get filed in there. But 201 out of 292, that's not very good. Bumping for ODU is John Holobetz, who is making his 3rd career start. Last year, he was 2-1 with a 3.38 ERA and a bunch of relief appearances. He had 49 strikeouts with 10 walks and 42 innings pitched. He had a CR of 2.66. So he's supposed to be pretty good this year. He's supposed to make quite a bit of progression. Rutgers' offense is stout. Not as good as in years past, but so far this year, they're averaging 8 runs a game with an 8.51 team OPS. And they have one of the nation's best arms bumping on Friday. So I think the Scarlet Knights are going to get a win in game one. And all I'm asking them to do is take a knock off game 2 or game 3. A lot of people are going to side with the home team in this series. I'm going to play leverage play once again, like I did last week with Maryland. Give me the Power Conference team on the road, trying to, you know, pull off. It shouldn't be viewed as an upset. I don't think it will be, but I think Rutgers wins 2 of 3 here, but definitely a coin flip series.
Trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball.
And for what it's worth, I'm locking Rutgers Friday. So I'd like my music.
Now, Lane Elliott says, if this is Norfolk on Friday, it's going to get pushed because it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. Something to keep in mind. But Noah Beanick says, lock it up. Scarlet Knights. You know I love a home dog against the Big Ten. Me these Monarchs, all right?
You didn't take it last week. You took Maryland.
It's just because my mom was in the house. My mom was in the house. She's a Maryland grad.
Why are you going against what?
Because she is not a Rutgers grad, all right? If anything, she's probably spent more time down in Norfolk, Virginia, definitely, than Piscataway, New Jersey. So I will load up on the Monarchs. Let's fucking go. No lock. My locks are coming, though, all right? They're coming, all right. And when I say they're coming, all right, I can't wait for this game. Another 11.7 matchup. 1 p.m. Pacific. You know, number 11, East Carolina. Game one is in Chapel Hill. Game two is in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And game three is in Greenville. East Carolina's plus what? Wait, they're making us the dog. as we take on the wine and cheese bozos known as the North Carolina Tar Heels, number 15 in the nation. We got a ranked on ranked matchup, or so they say. North Carolina's minus 135. ECU is plus 105. I guess they just don't know that, you know, this.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
Boom. Let's go. I mean, they got some fucking nerve making them the favorites. Walt Weiss ain't walking through that fucking door. All right. Let me tell you something. ECU is going to, I'm telling you, this is a 3-game sweep. All right. I've heard enough of this Tar Heel nonsense all day. They say it in football. They say it in basketball. Right. With their Dean Smith blood money. All right. Bring it on. I'll give you basketball. You got a little history. Football, baseball, we'll fuck you up each and every time. All right. And basketball, we're getting the program right back to the Blue Edwards days, and we're coming for you. But I am all over the Pirates plus 105. I know the chat just thinks, hey, he's picking that because Colby loves ECU. No, I'm picking this also because it's a smart ass wager. Noah, your thoughts?
Yeah. I think the series, like the idea of both of them doing a home and home and then a neutral on Saturday to get both fan bases in one stadium is just outstanding. Both these guys and Clemson and South Carolina do this. I think it's a great, great thing for college baseball. My handicap for this game and for the series is pretty simple. And it takes place solely on the mound because one team can pitch and one team can't. North Carolina's ace too. He had a preseason UCL surgery. He's out for the year. So the Tar Heels are already behind the eight ball, especially considering that East Carolina always has top tier pitching. This year it's no different with Trey Savage. Last year he was 7-1 with a 2.61 ERA, 105 strikeouts in 76 innings. He had a 2.07 Sierra, which is basically elite. And North Carolina, they're starting on Friday. Fulgur Bose, who's pitched for North Carolina last Friday. I think he's going to go here again. Bose is a blue chip freshman prospect. He was the 57th best left-handed pitcher in the 2023 class. But last week he had a solid five-inning start against Wagner. East Carolina is a large step up in competition here, especially in an in-state matchup, in-state rivalry like this. The Pirates might even get into this home stadium, into Beauchemin Stadium, and, you know, have a presence.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that's happening.
I listed this, like, when we did the SGP show, they asked me to just make the odds for some of the games so we could pick them. I had this at a -115 game, and I still took East Carolina. Plus 105, lock that up. Plus money with the Pirates, with the better starting pitcher on the mound on Friday. Give me ECU. Let's go.
Alfred 44 says, was it ECU just lost to the Campbells of Campbell? First off, Campbell was very good last year, but that's the classic look ahead spot. You don't think they had North Carolina circled the entire fucking year, just waiting to play those pussies?
Plus, in the midweek, you're pitching your fourth guys. A lot of the depth guys get reps. A lot of teams just don't take those games as serious. East Carolina gearing up for North Carolina. They were just caught in a look at, like Colby was saying. So lock this one up. We believe in the Pirates,
in the spirit of ECU. All over that play. I mean, all over that play. Folks, before we get to the next game, I want to tell you that the College Baseball Experience is brought to you by Game Time. Yes, buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be that stressful. All right. It just shouldn't be, unless you're trying to go to the jungle. It might get a little stressful. All right. But look, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. Just, you know, pull out your phone, press the app, and boom. They got killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. Well, with that, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll be having at that very event. So what are you doing, folks? Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Create an account. Use that redeeming code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Once again, terms apply. Create that account. Redeeming code SGPN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy List. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. We got NBA, NHL, soccer, college hoops. Noah's been writing articles regarding this college hoops Underdog stuff. It's fantastic. Check it out, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. But simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats, and you can cash in. And right now, SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you, you know, even more of a bonus than the previous weeks we were repping with Underdog. Sign up now, or between now and the end of the month, and five winners will receive an Underdog hat, shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today using the promo code SGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win. So folks, once again, when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right. We are back on the College Baseball Experience, and next up, you know, game one of the Kubota College Baseball Series. Let's go to Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, where the Michigan Wolverines are +190. Noah Beanix Wolverines. Don't I have a song on that? I feel like I do somewhere here.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
All American son of a bitch.
I mean, you could say that one, but I also had
Harbaugh bite.
I had shoot. I don't know. Don't have me looking through the soundboard. It's too deep these days.
Bites and you don't have that.
It
one.
Is too deep these days, this soundboard. I don't know what's going on, but I'll say this.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
And that counts for the soundboard. Michigan taking on Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's -250. Michigan +190 dog. Look, it's a tournament. And you got a bunch of different teams out there in Arlington. You also have Arkansas so Michigan, Arkansas, Oklahoma State. Who's the fourth team? So
Michigan, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Oregon State.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a fun series down there. Noah, why?
I wanted to go. I was planning the entire offseason to go, and it's just not going to be feasible for the wallet.
I mean, it's dumb baseball, so, you know. Don't give your hard earned money to any dome event. I mean, what, build me a case of why I should take Michigan. Cause my first thought is I'm going to load up on the Cowboys.
I think you should. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. Although I'm a Michigan fan here. We are in a retooling phase right now as our offense is just light years ahead of the pitching staff. The entire core of that 2019 College World Series runner-up team has moved on. Our coach that was running that team, he's now thriving with Clemson, Eric Backich. So
ECU grad.
Yeah, and he continues to recruit away guys that were going to commit to Michigan. You know, you might call me crazy for plugging them in when we previewed Clemson in that ACC preview, but Jaron Purifoy, who is basically all speed, pretty much going to be a pinch runner for most of the year, had some time in that Xavier series, hit a grand slam. He was a Michigan commit. Also, whew, Jack Creighton, he was an outfielder. He was a Michigan commit. He was playing the entire weekend for Clemson. Those are two guys that are playing power conference college baseball that were originally going to come to Michigan. And also, another one of those guys is playing for Oklahoma State, Nolan Schubert. In summer ball, he was teammates with Jackson Holiday, the nephew of head coach here for Oklahoma State, and Josh Holiday. So he was able to recruit Schubert away from Michigan to come to Oklahoma State. I believe in Tracy Smith, new head coach of Michigan. He led the Kyle Schwarber Indiana team to the College World Series in 2013. That was the last Big Ten team to go to Omaha, if you don't count the 2019 Michigan team. So I like Smith. He hammered the transfer portal big time. He has one interesting freshman starting on Fridays and Dylan Vigue. He has a mid-90s fastball, but he's gonna take his fair share of lumps. Again, he's a freshman starting on a Friday, and he's got an average fastball. Oklahoma State, with their lineup, it's loaded. They're going to be able to feast on this kid. Much like Oklahoma State, they struggle, much like us. Oklahoma State struggles to pitch effectively. Sam Garcia started for the Pokes last Friday, and he did not look good. Oklahoma State lost 2 of 3 to Sam Houston last weekend. Garcia is a transfer from High Point that had a record of 1-8 with a 7.57 ERA in 44 innings. In his first start, he allowed 4 runs in 4.1 innings, and he has an 8.31 ERA stamped to his name now. So, yeah, I like this Oklahoma State lineup. I think this is probably a parlay piece if we come back to him and include a parlay at the end of the show. But yeah, Schubert, he had a monster freshman year. I already mentioned him. He hit .338 in 2023 with 20 doubles, 17 homers, and 74 RBIs. I like the over when that thing comes out. If it's anything under like 15, I know that Globe Life Park has produced, the unders are 8-1 so far this season in college baseball games at Globe Life. That's not true. Not counting the midweek games. Last weekend, they were 8-1. But these two teams don't have much pitching and they can hit the shit out of the ball. So give me the over, whatever it is, and I'll take Oklahoma State on the money line.
Wow. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I know anyone in Ann Arbor listening to this is saying,
the fuck is that?
I'm with you. Lock.
You're locked. You can't lock it though. This thing's
the odds are so bad, right? How about I'll lock the over? You talked me into locking the over.
Yeah, but the over's not out yet. So
whatever it is, you know, let's ride. Let's ride. All right, I just like to have action. No,
you're not locking -2.
Time for some action. Classic Cypress Hill lyrics there by Be Real. All right, whatever you want to say. Look, you're upset that you know you're. Wolverines are fading.
You got your curb stomped in all three games.
You got your football national championship though. So just talk that shit.
Yes, for sure.
Talk that shit.
If there's one game that our listeners might want to sprinkle, if Michigan's live, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Arkansas a run for their money. Because Michigan's actual best pitcher here, Mitch Voit, he's a two-way guy. So we let him play in the field. He plays first base for us on Friday, Saturday. It's the same thing that Florida does with Jack Caglione. He'll play in the field, and then he's going to pitch on Sunday. So that's our best pitcher he'll be going up against Arkansas's third best pitcher. So like that probably gives us the best shot to win one game in this tournament.
All right, let's move along. Next up, the number 18 Iowa Hawkeyes are +100. This is going on 3 o'clock Pacific against the Auburn Tigers. They're -130. Auburn's not ranked. Iowa is, but yet Iowa's the dog. Maybe because it's in Jacksonville at the College Baseball Classic. Noah, I know it's chalky, but give me them Auburn Tigers. What do you do? I mean, build me a case.
I don't think it's chalky at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it's chalky. No.
You think people will be taking the ranked side of this?
100%. I think a lot of people are going to be attracted to this Iowa team, especially with Brody Breck on the mound. You know, he's one of the top pitching prospects for the 2024 MLB draft. But the listeners of this show that know that I'm just not as high on him, like in college baseball games, as draft scouts are, because he's a talent that is projectable. He's already has a triple digit fastball, but he can't control it right now. Like, that's a guy that you're going to draft now. You're going to develop him in the pros. Iowa's already done a good job developing him to this point, but I think we're not really getting much better out of him. He had 13 outs. He was only able to get 13 outs in his first start. 11 of the 13 were strikeouts, which is the outstanding part. However, he walked 6 batters and he hit another, totaling 7 free passes, which is just a no-go for me. He threw 4.1 innings and he had like 103 pitches. So the Hawkeyes here, I think, are going to attract some money. Auburn as a team right now, they have a 1097 OPS and they're averaging 13 runs a game. Iowa's only averaging 4.6 like against D1 competition this year. So they looked shaky in that opening weekend. The offense was brutal to watch, and it's the main reason why they lost outright to Lehigh. So Ike Irish is a stud for Auburn. He's great from name. My neck of the woods.
Great fucking name. Yeah, continue.
He's from my neck of the woods. He is a product of Orchard Lake St. Mary's, which is a powerhouse high school in my area. We're going to talk about his other star teammate from high school in a little bit, but I like Auburn here, -130.
I'm your leprechaun. Let's go with those. I mean, look, to me, I just fade the Big Ten, I feel like, every year, but I know, you know, sometimes you eat shit with that, but let's go to one that I'm super, super excited about. This is an 11.71 as well. 4:30 Pacific, number 20, UCLA at +124 at number 5, TCU -160. Lupton Stadium is where this is taking place. You know, I love this TCU team. I mean, I live 15. I mean, if you go at the right time, 5 minutes away from UCLA. But I kind of think TCU is just the better team, and the way that TCU, I know they had a magical run last year, and it's like, well, how often can you duplicate a magical run like that? I still just think they did a great job in the portal, bringing in great talent. I don't know if UCLA is there yet. Give me the Horned Frogs. Am I a fool, Noah?
No, I don't think you're foolish, but I do have some questions have been raised. You know, TCU had their hands full in all 3 games against Florida Gulf Coast last weekend. And I think UCLA is very similar to TCU. They have a nice young core, just like TCU did. TCU had a bunch of freshmen lead them to Omaha. UCLA just had a bunch of freshmen get hurt last season, so they didn't really see the time of day to really kind of break out like the Horned Frogs freshmen did. But each and every single season, UCLA brings in top recruiting class after top recruiting class. I just have to see it to believe it. And you know what? They looked pretty good against Gonzaga opening weekend. The Zags usually have pretty good pitching. They hit pretty well against Gonzaga. The only issue is UCLA just doesn't have a dude at the top of their rotation, because they're typically known for having high end pitching prospects, but this year they don't, because both Gage Jump and Thatcher Hurd transferred to LSU. So junior Luke Jewett, he had a rough first outing last Friday against Gonzaga. He allowed 4 runs in 5.1 innings. Last season, Jewett, he really didn't excel either. He had a 5.31 ERA. He only pitched 20.1 innings. But it was a limited sample. I just combined both of those words. It was a limited sample size last year. His Sierra was 267, so he's actually expected to make a pretty sizable progression this season, pretty sizable jump this season. So TCU, they've got Peyton Tully on the mound. He's their two-way star. He got rocked in his first start, giving up 4 runs in 3 innings, 3 walks. Both offenses had great first weekends, so this is maybe an overlook here as well when the totals come out. I like UCLA at plus money here. I will take in the 11.7 contest, I'm taking TCU just because they're the home team. They've proven to be down and be able to come back against other teams' bullpens. I'm just taking a shot for the show, plus money on UCLA here, plus 124. At TCU.
So when Alfred asked about a TCU Oklahoma State little Big 12 parlay, you're putting the kibosh on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think TCU is definitely, or I think UCLA is definitely live to win this game. It's not a far stretch of imagination at all. At the end, we can talk about a podcast parlay. That was a staple of the podcast 2 seasons ago. Last year we kind of slacked on it, but yeah, we can get back to it here.
Let's bring it back.
We forgot the last show too.
West Virginia is visiting the Clits in Charlotte. Durko wants to know about his Mountaineers chances.
Not too high on the Mountaineers this year, but Charlotte kind of disappointed.
They look like ass last week, man.
So
anyone's game, right? Anyone's game. I think
I would actually say West Virginia for sure on Friday. Okay. I think West Virginia wins that one on Friday for sure. Saturday and Sunday is kind of like where both teams, they don't have much pitching at all. And if Charlotte can show up and hit, it's definitely a question mark for me. But I would say West Virginia Friday should be able to win.
Number 20. Let's go to this one. 4:30 Pacific. Number 23, Indiana. At minus 150, they head to Waco, Texas to take on Baylor. Baylor's plus 120 at Baylor Ballpark. Indiana starting pitcher Brady.
He does know how to pronounce Waco. He just prefers Waco.
Well, I mean, you might not have known the historical events that have taken place in Waco. I think it's very accurate to call it Waco, Texas. Look, Indiana starting pitcher Braden Reisdorf. He went 3-1 in 2023 with a 4.56 ERA, 58 strikeouts in 51 innings pitched. Dog. All right. Baylor starting pitcher Mason Marriott Hotel. He was 1-7 with a 7.67 ERA in 2023. Noah, you know, someone slid into the DMs talking shit how I faded Indiana last week.
Yeah, you did.
I'll fade him again. All right. Baylor plus 120. I'll see you at the winner's circle in Waco. What are you doing here?
To be fair, we both did. So Duke won that game against Indiana, but Indiana went 2-1 the weekend. It's a simple handicap for me because both programs last weekend were in pretty solid tournaments. Baylor floundered and Indiana showed potential. They competed with Duke on day one on Friday. They took down Coastal Carolina in a true road environment, and they had some fun with George Mason, just like Coastal Carolina and Duke did. So, I mean, George Mason was just kind of they were the curb in that tournament. Everybody had a chance.
Hey, they look good coming out of it, though. They got back into Fairfax into that cold weather. They did. And they dominated. All right.
So, I mean, the Hoosiers, they're slugging .531 with 8 homers in 4 games this season. They're averaging just under 8 runs a game. Baylor, on the other hand, they lost Nebraska by 3, Oregon by 3, Tennessee by 6, and they only averaged 3.3 runs a game. It was not a very good looking offense. And Marriott, he impressed me a little bit just because he wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be. Cause I did lock Nebraska, but Nebraska ended up winning the game, because the bullpen fell apart after Marriott. So once again, I'm on Indiana here at minus 150 for the show. I might end up betting this by tomorrow. This is a fringe lock for the show. We'll get to it at the end when we list our lock.
Fringe. I played the music. No, I'm not locking this.
Yeah. I think this is just because it's a minus 150. I don't want to give that out on the show, but Indiana, I feel pretty good feel pretty confident that they win this game.
Let's jump to maybe the best matchup of the weekend. 5 o'clock PM in Arlington, Texas, in that filthy Globe Life Park. Arkansas, number 2 in the nation, -130, taking on Oregon State. It says at Oregon State. No, taking on Oregon State, +100, number 7 in the nation. The Beavs, that's where they reside. Huge, huge game there. It's technically it's game 2 in the Kubota College Baseball Series. Noah, I my heart's with Oregon State.
Yeah, mine is too.
But I'm taking Arkansas. I think Arkansas, it's closer. I think their fans travel. You know, I think that's an advantage. I think their weather is an advantage, even in a dome. So, I mean, I think it's the year of the Razorback. Look, I think the Beavs could still be there at the end of the day when it's all said and done. But I think right now, Arkansas takes down Oregon State in Globe Life Park. Too many bats. I think they end up taking them down. Your thoughts?
I see both these teams as pretty similar, especially here at the beginning of the season. I'm going to take the +100 with Oregon State here. Mainly because, you know, Hagan Smith didn't look sharp last Friday for Arkansas. Last March, we saw a legendary matchup between Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in the World Baseball Classic. And there's going to be another really good international clash here between Arkansas's American left-handed pitcher and Hagan Smith and Oregon State's Australian second baseman, Travis Bezzana. Hopefully we're going to see this matchup a couple of times during this game. Both guys are surefire first rounders. They represent the strengths of each other's teams. Oregon State, they have one of the nation's best offenses in the country. The Beavers are averaging 10 runs a game with the nation's ninth best team OPS at 12-10. Bezzana is a large part of that because he's just flat out raking right now. 563 batting average, 1963 OPS, 3 blasts in 4 games this past weekend. He scored 6 runs and had 7 RBIs as well. Hagan Smith, like I mentioned, he was 8-2 last year with a 3.64 ERA, 109 strikeouts in 71 innings. However, he was a possible regression candidate this season. He had a 4.47 FIP, which would fit the narrative of him getting banged around against James Madison on Friday. He allowed 3 runs in the first inning, and head coach Dave Van Horn didn't send him out for the second inning on opening day, a day that all the fans came out to see their hyped Friday night starter. So DVH, you know, future Hall of Fame coach, he possibly is pressing some buttons with his stud starting pitcher. And maybe it works because this is the big game that you really need Hagan Smith, because he's going up against one of the nation's best offenses. Ultimately, I'm going to side with the plus money in that powerful offense with their new Friday guy in Aiden May, who's a transfer from Arizona with a 6.33 ERA. Trust me, that's an ugly number, but reportedly progressed a ton. He's throwing in the high 90s now, and also he's not pitching in the launch pad that is Arizona. So with all the dry heat, so thin air. I like Oregon State here, the electric offense. Give me the Beavers in Arlington. Plus, they've already played a game in Globe Life, so they're acclimated to the Globe Life Park. Game 1, they beat Texas Tech, who's another solid team. I think they're ready for this.
Look, shout out to Dryden. We know Dryden, great guy. Hope you're doing well, Dryden. He's a diehard Beavs fan. Look, if Oregon State wins every game this year, I'm going to be the happiest fucking person. Their program deserves everything. I just think Arkansas is the spot. Beanix on the Beavs. Now we also have Simon in the chat, who's a Razorback fan. So, wow. I like this going toe to toe.
I have positions on both teams though in the College World Series. I gave them out in our show and also wrote an article on it. So I'm happy. I'm rooting for both for the season. I'm just going to take the plus money with Oregon State here.
Now, Team Fox in the chat says, you know, where are we at with Tally Site on this? Is this going to happen or no?
You haven't been reading Slack, I can tell.
I have a newborn son. Okay. Yeah.
They're working on it, is what we've been told. I've asked a couple of times. So our college baseball picks page will be up and running hopefully soon. We said the same thing pretty much all of last year, and soon turned out to be late May. So who the fuck knows? But I'm crossing my fingers that we get it out early because we have a lot of momentum here.
Shout out to GBO Farms. Dundee lives. Why the hell is no all of a sudden find the balls to do so many locks when it's baseball?
Because I know this sport better than I feel like a lot of people that are setting some of the lines. That's just how it is. It's not a popular market. And I think when you have an edge, you got to exploit the edge. You got to bet on it. Like when Mac locks 70 fucking games, he knows a hell of a lot of the programs and the coaches and the games than the odds makers do.
Yeah.
That's his angle. He feels that he knows a lot more. And if he's betting 70 games, he's going to hit on 40 of them. If I'm betting on 11 of them, which is usually like four or five bets more than I have in college basketball, I feel like I hit on six or seven of them more often than I lose. So that's my opinion on it. And baseball is also different, where I also sprinkle on quite a few plus money plays. So I could go 3-6 on a day and still come out plus money, making money for the day. So that's kind of how I attack it. I might sprinkle like five games on a Wednesday, but they're all plus money. So
there we go. Shout out to Daryl Golston. I live 2 minutes from North Carolina A&T. I can't bet them in basketball. Hey, I hit on them the other day in basketball against Wilmington, but in baseball he can. Let's go. Shout out to Daryl. All right, let's jump to the next game. UConn, the Huskies. Was it a couple years ago that they made the
2021?
Yeah, made the tournament, went out to Palo Alto, gave us one of those games was a classic.
2022.
Yeah, 22.
First year of this podcast.
Yeah. UConn heads to the West Coast again. Cal. Wait, Evans Diamond. Is that Berkeley?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember. Every time I've gone to Berkeley, I just take a lot of drugs. And when I say every time, there's only a couple times because it's only so much Berkeley you can take. It's fun, but it's also you know what I mean? Next thing you know, it's an interesting place. All right. Check out the Amoeba though. Great record store. Cal, I hit on Cal last week. You were talking shit. You were talking shit about my play.
I was.
And the Golden Bears got it done against those Kansas State Wildcats. Did I get fortunate, Noah?
No, they completely dominated that game. I had 70 cents of CLV. And of course, like I always say, CLV doesn't mean shit in college baseball. Cause I mean, I feel like these lines are all over the place.
Yeah. Shout out to Simon. It says, Colby, don't worry, I didn't forget about the bobblehead. I'm still trying to get one. Hey, appreciate it if you can. If not, it's all good, brother. But if you can, cool. You know, always, I got a big bobblehead collection. You're going to see me throw up a bunch on my shelves that someone deemed my dreams the other day. Appreciate that one. And Noah, if I just can't fade them. I'm buying in to Berkeley. I think that they realize that they got to get their shit together in football, basketball, and baseball. That athletics kind of help pay for all their shenanigans over there. So once USC and UCLA left them high and dry, and they were just clinging on to Stanford while Condoleezza Rice was calling George Bush down there at SMU, and they're just looking for any fucking home. I think they realize they better get their shit together with the athletics. I'm buying in. I see Mark Madsen's doing on the basketball program. Wilcox has got them bowling. Give me the Cal Golden Bears. Let's drop acid again. All right, let's go to a Grateful Dead concert up there. What are you doing here?
Yeah, so this is 11.7 series, so we'll pick the series winner after this one too. This series is very intriguing to me because Cal, they played very well in week one, and the narrative around UConn is that they're going to take a step back. I was not impressed with Cal's starting pitching on Saturday and Sunday. Luke Short was only able to get 7 outs on Saturday, and Andres Galan failed to even get out of the first inning. UConn's lineup, though, has some questions. They return, however, on the pitching staff, they return 3 big contributors from last year's staff that'll all be in this weekend's rotation. The Huskies only allowed 6 total runs in the first three games of their season against Louisville, South Florida, and Indiana State last weekend. So they went 2-1 in those three games, but they only scored 7 runs. So they scored 7, allowed 6. They go 2-1. It's like a boxing matchup between these two teams, a matchup of styles. For the Pick'em contest, I'm reluctantly taking the Ohm team here. The Huskies just need to show me that they can do something at the plate before I take them. As a team, UConn is batting 168 with the nation's 278th OPS at 532. That's Oakland Athletics type of bad production right now. Give me Cal for the series. For game one, the pitching matchup's not confirmed, but I project UConn's going to trot out Ian Cook on Friday, just like they did last week. He threw 6 innings of 3-hit, no-run ball, but in 12 starts during 2023, Cook had a 5.74 ERA, and he's a pitch-to-contact guy. Currently, Cal has a team batting average of 328, 964 OPS. That's 51st in the country. They've got a couple of stars in the lineup, in Rodney Green Jr. and some others. I'll take Cal to win game one here, too. Therefore, it gives me the comfort that they even, their offense is going to win either game two or game three with them, even if they don't get great starting pitching in those games. So I like Cal. Their offense is just so much better than UConn's. Give me the Golden Bears.
Hippie Olympics. It doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
Give me. It does matter who wins, though. It does. This weekend. Cal Golden Bears. Get it done. Let's move along. Oh, boy. So, the Pussy Pack, aka NC State. Some say, oh, good baseball program. I would disagree, but they're heading far, far away. And I laugh at the thought of them. Pussy Pack on the road, going to beautiful Hawaii. You know, it's a hard ticket. All right.
It's a hard ticket to Hawaii.
It's not paradise all the time.
It's a hard ticket to Hawaii.
I mean, there's money to be made here. North Carolina's number 13 in the nation. They're minus 190, but they got to go to the island. To less.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Colby? I apologize. People are coming in here because they're tailing my Northwestern College basketball pick. They're 8 minutes into the game and they're only down 8. Please stop. There's 40 minutes in a college basketball game. Sorry. They're making me freak out like Northwestern's down 20 or something.
If they were smart and they're stressing out like they're going to lose that game, may I suggest that they jump on Hawaii at Les Murakami Stadium there on the island. Hawaii just split a 4-game series with Ole Miss last weekend and really could have won 3 as they lost in the 13th inning on Friday. So let me get this straight. You got the Pussy Pack fly. Look, at any time they look, come on. I mean, you know how Hawaii is going to have distractions. Now I know none of those losers on NC State are going to get laid. They're going to be sitting there in their hotel rooms, jerking off at the end of the night, wishing they could get some of that scattered ass in Hawaii, but it ain't going to work. All right. Because the Rainbow Warriors own that island and they prove it. Sprinkle some of that plus 145 on the money line. Fuck this pussy pack bullshit out of here. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Colby. Like I said, like you said, I was also super impressed by Hawaii on opening weekend. Most of the preseason analysis around Ole Miss was that their lineup was going to be good thanks to a lot of the transfers they brought in. Well, the Rebs only scored 15 runs in 4 games, averaging 4 runs or averaging under 4 runs in the series. If we're catching Hawaii at a plus price in every game of the series, like we are in game one, I'm taking the Bows on the money line in every game here. I think they're going to be really competitive. This pitching staff was pretty good in week one. And they're scrappy at the plate. They are not afraid to lay down a couple of bunts, play some small ball, steal some bags, move some runners over, and score some runs. So give me the Rainbow Warriors here at plus 145. Let's go.
Love it. Let's go. The locks are flowing. And look, there's some stuff off the board right now for the 11.7 series. St. John's, obviously they took down the Florida Gators. I know Noah's still mad at them. They head to Houston. St. John's is plus 180. I'll take a stab on that. Am I crazy?
I would say if you're going to take a stab in game one, you wouldn't be crazy, because who knows? St. John's could have, I mean, their Friday night starter could turn out to be a world beater. And, you know, they went on Friday, and then against Florida, they dropped games two and games three. I tend to believe that it was quite a big fluke for Florida losing in the opening game of the year with a Friday night starter that hadn't started a game in his career. You know, just a big pressure spot that he didn't live up to. He looked terrible in his first game. So in this game, Houston played inferior opponents in weekend one. Their offense looked incredible. They pitched the hell out of the rock. They look pretty good on the mound. I'm going to take Houston here. And I'm also going to make it my survivor. I think a lot of people are going to lay off of St. John's after that first game performance against Florida. And I think that was more or less Florida lost the game than St. John's won. Because St. John's came out hot swinging it in Florida. There were some issues with the swing and miss, and they have that issue with the lineup. Houston looks good. They've been rolling early. We're seeing this in game one too. They're a minus 240 favorite. So once again, the odds makers are right there with me and saying, just not buying into the Johnnies here. So yeah, I'll take the Cougs. This is their first home series too. This season, that first weekend was a tournament. So, yeah, this damn, I had a hiccup there. This is my survivor for the week.
Folks, you heard him right there.
Well I don't get the rain, man, cold. But
first, one more 11.7 series I want to talk about. Fresno State's at Cal State Fullerton. Shit, that's right by me. 45 minutes away if you leave at the right time. If you leave at the wrong time, it's 17 fucking hours away. LA traffic. But Cal State Fullerton is laying 210. I mean, they're minus 210. Fresno State's getting plus 160. Noah, is it crazy to play Fresno here?
I don't think it's crazy. I think there also could be some overreaction here on Fullerton, just because last weekend they played pretty well against Stanford. I think Stanford's actually like quite bad right now. I watched some of those games. They're really retooling this roster. They have a couple of holdovers from last year, but overall the core from the three straight Omaha appearances is mostly gone. And Fullerton benefited from bringing back a lot from last year and having more continuity and going in and beating a rival. It was a big get up spot. Fresno State though, their offense is fun. I think it's pretty good. The Bulldogs have a good lineup. They lost their top two starting pitchers from last season, and their rotation did not look great weekend number one. I'm on Fullerton here for the series. I'm not betting this at the current odds for first game. I think Fresno State could pull off an upset in one of these, but I think Fullerton wins 2 of 3.
I'm on Fresno. Fullerton canceled their football team a year after building a football stadium. You know, I think they're the dumbest fucking people on the planet. So I will load up on Fresno State. It's just karma. You know, it's just the gods are going to let Fresno bring it home. Yeah. All right. Well, look, that's our slate. Let's get the lock, dog, and your survivor play. We know what that is. That's the Houston Cougars.
Yes.
I mean, I think
Houston's the survivor.
You ready for my survivor? You're gonna think I'm fucking nuts.
Hit me with it.
Those Pirates.
I don't think you're nuts. I think it's a good play because I think they've got the better starting pitcher. I think they got a huge advantage in game one, which is the game that North Carolina gets to host. So yeah. I think you guys go into Beauchemin and you win. Game two could be the possible loss. And then when you host the jungle, them, you win game three.
There we go. Yeah. Or we just beat them all three times like the little stinking bitches they are. Folks.
I will say, like, you want to lock and dog, and then you want to do the parlay, the podcast parlay?
Yes, we should. We should.
Okay.
We owe it to them.
For my lock is going to be Rutgers. With Christian Coppola on the mound, I think they go into Old Dominion and they win game one. And that is what sets me up for a series victory, picking a road team in the 11.7 contest. It's a leverage play. I believe in the Scarlet Knights. But also, I love that pitching matchup too. I think they got another big advantage there, just like ECU does. So Rutgers is my lock. Wichita State as the dog, plus 260. They're playing Virginia in that Jacksonville tournament. Virginia has Iowa and Auburn as look-ahead spots in games two and game three. They're going to hold off on some of their better pitching options in the bullpen. And Jack O'Connor is a pitch-of-contact pitcher. And Wichita State looked pretty good with the bats in weekend number one. So I'm going to take the Shockers at plus 260 as my dog for this show.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lock is ECU. And I hate to just throw all my eggs in one basket. Not really when it's ECU, but the dog, look, since you took Wichita, which I agree, I'm sprinkling Wichita, but I'm going to go to the island. I'm going to go to the island. I think Hawaii is there to get it done. Plus 145. That's my dog on the island. They proved to be pretty damn good against Ole Miss last week. So let's fucking go. And then,
So scrolling through our picks, we didn't truly align with a lot of the favorites, I'll say. I have to ask, I don't remember. Were you on UConn?
No, I was on Cal. So Cal is one leg of our parlay. Do you like
Cal and Oklahoma State? Because we were both on Oklahoma State.
Cal and Oklahoma State. And if we had to throw a third one in, it's either ECU or Wichita, right?
Or
Hawaii. We both took Hawaii.
Yeah, we both took Hawaii. But I mean, now we're just taking your lock and dog and putting it in a parlay. That's
true. That is true.
I'll do Oklahoma State and East Carolina if you want to do that.
All right. Okay, State. So ECU. Let's fucking ride in
right now.
Me too. So
East Carolina actually updated price. It's now plus 100. Or did we call it at plus 100 for the show?
No, we called it at 105. Yeah, plus 105.
It opened at 105, and I told Colby before the show that was going to move for sure. All right, so plus 180, Oklahoma State, East Carolina.
Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. And folks, you need to go subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Subscribe, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And also, you need to go subscribe wherever podcasts can be found, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever. All right. Also, give Noah Biedek a follow on Twitter. This guy knows more college baseball. He's forgot more college baseball than I've ever known. All right. I mean, I've known a little bit. All right. Like always betting on ECU. He's going to treat you well. No, give Noah a follow. He does great work. I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. The College Experience is on Twitter. The College Baseball Experience is on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Follow. And remember, the night's just getting started. I'm on VSIN. All right. VSIN. If you get YouTube TV, you have VSIN. I feel like if you get a lot of platforms, you get VSIN. I'll be on there talking college basketball in about 40 minutes. So hop on over there, check it out. And then tonight around 9 o'clock Pacific, college basketball show, myself, Noah Beanick, Moneyline Mac, talking all of the action from all the games that happened today and then keying in on tomorrow's college basketball action. Once again, shout out to the chat. Shout out to Dryden. Hell of a good guy. And shout out to everybody joining in. 64 people. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Appreciate everyone. Until next time, this is the College Baseball Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we are out of here.
I lost a bet on the Super Bowl. So I had to dive in and crawl around through the snow. Don't believe me? Believe me, there's a video. We made it to promote March 5th and then we did the show. Before March, there was a winter to be lived through. And snow fell on the DC metropolis. In some other cities, this wouldn't be big news. But where I live, it felt like an apocalypse. Not the kind where zombies are the wrath of God. But the kind where Mother Nature doesn't laugh it off. I didn't laugh at all. I saw the sky smoking the bun, now waiting for the ash to fall. Traffic stalled for a few weeks. Capitol Hill of snow taking up a parking space. A couple notches on the beltway ain't unique. But higher in freezes get more than your heart to race. I mean the rats were frostbit, they lost it. Risking their lives just to make it to the office. Exhausting, caustic, cold front rose up through the mid-Atlantic and did its damage. Detective Bailey didn't expect a camera and brought a gun to a snowball fight. I know my rights in a seasonal mood swing. Some of us winning, some of us losing. That broken clock's been blinking since winter. I hope it's not telling me